So this is such just a powerful, amazing reading tonight. There's so much richness in it that I just can't do that. So I'm going to zero focus in on one part of our gospel today. And that is this encounter between Jesus and the woman at the well. And just really kind of look deeply into that right there, okay? So the well in the Bible is the place where you went to meet your bride-to-be. Isaac, Abraham's son, met his wife at a well. His son Jacob, who became Israel, met his wife at a well. Moses met his wife at a well, all right? So when Jesus is coming to the well in our gospel today, he is God, the bridegroom, who is coming to pursue the one he loves. That's who Jesus is in this gospel. He's coming to pursue the Samaritan woman, but also she's a symbol for us, for the church who is his bride. So it's really a love story in many ways. Now, I think it's really important then to point out that the first woman Jesus pursues in this way is a great sinner. And that doesn't disqualify her. And it doesn't disqualify us. In fact, that's exactly the place where Jesus comes to pursue us, is right there. So Jesus comes in order to invite us into his love. He talks about this thirst in this water. There's a thirst in God's heart to love us and to receive our love. He desires us. He pursues you. He wants to draw you into his heart and to himself. And so prepare your hearts tonight. Prepare yourself to receive a love in Christ, especially as you're getting ready to receive communion today. Jesus entering into you. Prepare your hearts to receive a love like the Samaritan woman did, who was a love that was greater and beyond the expectations and what she knew ever anywhere in her life before, especially from the men in her life that she'd had. It was another love. Okay. So now, are you ready for the next line? This one's key. The well where Jesus comes to meet, where Jesus comes, it's your place of greatest shame. That's where Jesus came to meet the woman. That's what the well is, you guys. That's where he comes to meet us. He comes to meet us precisely in the place of our greatest shame. Because he wants to enter into that place. Sometimes we think like we have to get ourselves right before we can go to Jesus. And that's just not the way it works. He actually pursues us. And he comes to you right in that place. She came to the well at noon because she was a woman of sin. Because she was not accepted by the other women who came in the morning. And so she had to come in the heat of the day at noon in shame and isolation and all by herself. And that she had no idea that day that she was going to meet Jesus. But he knew that he was coming to meet her there. So that's where Jesus precisely comes. He pursues her right there. You know, there's something so shameful about sexual sins. Whether that's sins with others, sins with ourselves, or today the sins of pornography. For the woman today, it was that she had been married and rejected by men 5 different times. There's something so shameful about that place. And very often, it's a place that very deep wounds from things that have happened in our life. Things we keep very hidden. But I want to say it can also be many other things. It's whatever thoughts and memories that you try to keep in the darkness, that you don't tell to anyone, or at least to very few in your life. It's a very sensitive place in your heart. A place where you want to hide. And when that place comes up in the darkness, It makes you see yourself in a certain way. I am unlovable. I am dirty or ugly. I am undesirable. There's something wrong with me. I've been used and discarded. I am not enough. I am a failure. I am unworthy. I am alone. And the thing is, just like the woman, we even just get used to this in our life. We get almost used to these thoughts and these feelings, and we just think, well, it's just the way my life is. Just like the woman, she just thought, well, that's just the way my life is. I just have to go to the well at noon in the heat of the day and the shame and the isolation. That's just my life. And we get to think that this is actually something normal that I just have to live with. But it's not normal, okay? It's not normal. And it's not what Jesus wants for you. Jesus has something so much more than this for you. What was so powerful, so life-changing for the woman? It was that Jesus saw her. Jesus saw right there in that deepest place of her sin and her shame, that Jesus saw her. That she was seen and loved precisely in the place where she felt the most shame and the most alone. That there was a look, like in the gaze of Jesus, in the deepest thirst that she had within her, that she'd been trying to satisfy with so many different men in her life, that Jesus looked on her right there, and she saw in his gaze something different. A different look and a different love than any that she had seen from any of the men she'd ever been with. What she received in his eyes, in his looks, and in his words was the truth about herself. And it was something very different than what she'd been telling herself about herself. Jesus' gaze told her, "Woman, you are daughter. And maybe you haven't been called that in a long time. But that's who you are. You are daughter. And you are loved. And you are good. And you are enough. And I desire you. And I pursue you precisely right here in this place. I pursue you. And you are not alone here. I am with you. And I redeem you. In all of the sin and the shame, I've redeemed you. And now you are mine. You are mine." And she was free. She was free of her sin, of her shame, and of all of the lies. That's so powerful. That is something so powerful. I want us to be free like that. This is what Jesus has to offer you. This is the freedom of Jesus' kingdom that he wants for you. We have to let Jesus meet us in the well of our sin and of our shame and let him see it all. We have to quit hiding and actually let it be seen and brought to the light and let Jesus look on us. And that's not easy. That can be really hard because what we want to do is we want to run there in that place. We want to run. My theme for Lent has been stay with Jesus. Don't run. Stay with him there. Let him see you there. Let him look at you. How does Jesus look at you in the midst of it all? How does he look at you? St. Ignatius of Loyola, he said that when we keep things in the dark, Satan has power over us. But as soon as we bring it to the light, it no longer has any power. In fact, Jesus shines his light into that darkness. And Jesus speaks truth into those lies. And instantly, as soon as we bring this thing to the light, Satan's plans are defeated. His plans for you and his plans and his lies about you. And Jesus is victorious. And what he says to you is victorious in you. Simply by bringing it to the light with Jesus. I give Jesus authority. I give him authority over me. Because you see, when I sin, what I do is I'm making a bond and a friendship with Satan. That's what I'm doing. I'm not just breaking a commandment. I'm actually submitting myself and giving myself to another person, and that person is Satan. And I enter into a bond with him, and I give him authority over me. Authority over my thoughts, authority over my feelings, over my body, my sexuality, my soul, and over my actions. And he keeps me in bondage there. And I let him tell me who I am. When instead I turn to Christ, instead of hiding in the darkness where Satan has the authority to continue to keep me in those lies about who I am over me, instead, as soon as I bring it to the light and I turn to Jesus, and I let Jesus see me there, I let him look at me there, and I open up that place to him, and I say, Jesus, how do you see me here? What I do in that moment is I give Jesus authority over me. And Satan is defeated in that moment. And not that it all is going to happen completely, immediately in one single moment. It might take time to work through things. Like I said, right? Stay with Jesus at the well, right? But the reality is, as soon as you've turned to Jesus, that's already the victory in you. And you give Jesus authority over you now. And he now has authority over you in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your body, in your actions. And Jesus speaks the truth over me in authority. And I'm set free from the darkness and from the sin and the shame. And I let Jesus tell me who I am. I listen to his voice. And I'm brought into the kingdom of peace, of light, of joy, and of truth. This is why the sacrament of confession is so powerful. Because the priest speaks with the authority of Jesus over my life in confession. And Jesus sets you free in that authority. Confession is the well. Confession is the well where you let Jesus look on you and see you in your place of greatest shame. That's the power of a good confession in Lent. Not just listing my sins, but bringing to light whatever it is that I've been keeping in the darkness. And opening that up to Christ. And there in confession, the beauty of it is it's just you and Jesus. It's the well. Just like the woman and Jesus at the well. That's why we have the seal of confession, so that you can just come to Jesus and be completely and totally vulnerable there, just like the woman. And when you let Jesus into you in that way, he will set you free. I invite you to do that this Lent, okay? The last thing, also something very powerful. I want to teach you to reject those lies of Satan in your life and to profess the truth in Christ in your own life. Because you see, you also have an authority. Because you are baptized and you are confirmed, you have the Holy Spirit, Jesus dwells within you. When you speak with that authority of Jesus in you, you also have an authority. And you can speak authority over those lies in your life. And you can claim the truth in your life of who you are as a beloved son and daughter of God. And when you say those things, it's a daily practice that you can do, because these lies and these words, they attack us every day, don't they? They're there every single day. But you can actually speak with authority over them to reject them and to claim you the truth of being the beloved son and daughter of God. All you do is you say these words. In the name of Jesus Christ, you start with that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I reject the lie that, and whatever the lie is. And then in the name of Jesus Christ, I reject the spirit of, and whatever the temptation is. And then after you do that, then you say, again, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim the truth that I am, and whatever the truth is. It's a daily practice. And I promise you, St. James said, if you resist the devil, he will take flight. And I say it in the way of a question before you. And instead of like you saying it yourself, I'm going to say it in the way of a question. I'm going to say, do you reject the lie that whatever it is? And you're going to respond saying, I do. Just like we do at the Easter Vigil. And I'm going to lead you through this prayer of rejecting those lies and those spirits in your life. And of claiming the truth that Jesus speaks into your life. And I want you just to open yourself up to the Lord tonight. So I just want to pause for a moment before we start. And just to begin to pray. So you've just been listening to the homily perhaps. At this moment, I just want you to stop. And I want you to be with Jesus. I want you to think of Jesus looking at you right now. What is that place of deepest sin and deepest shame? What is your place of darkness? And to not hide that from him tonight, but to let him see you there. Jesus, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit upon us as we make this prayer. Give us the authority of your name in order to turn to you tonight. And so as I say these prayers, I invite you to respond saying, I do, with a confidence, with a faith in the power of Jesus Christ in you. In the name of Jesus, do you reject the lie that you are unlovable?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that you are dirty and ugly and undesirable?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that there is something wrong with you?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that you are abandoned?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that you are used and discarded and you are simply rejected?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that you are not enough?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that you are a failure?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the lie that you are unworthy?
I do.
And in the name of Jesus Christ, you reject the lie that you are alone.
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the spirit of lust and anger in your life?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the spirit of anxiety and fear?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the spirit of rejection and abandonment and being an orphan?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the spirit of jealousy and unforgiveness?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the spirit of sadness, of discouragement, and of despair?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject the spirit and the thoughts about harming myself or of suicide?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you reject any and all spirits that have come against you in any way?
I do.
And in the power of Jesus Christ, I bind these spirits and I cast them to the foot of the cross, along with these lies, for Jesus to deal with as he pleases. Amen.
Amen.
And now we're going to profess the truth. And again, I invite you to answer in responding, I do. In the name of Jesus Christ, do you claim and profess the truth that Jesus speaks over you? That you are son, that you are daughter, beloved of the Father.
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that you are loved?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that you are good?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that you are enough?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that you are lovable and desirable?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that Jesus pursues you and you are not alone?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you profess the truth that precisely in your place of greatest sin and shame, that Jesus comes and is with you there.
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you profess the truth that you have been redeemed by him.
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that you now belong to him, that you are his?
I do.
In the name of Jesus Christ, do you profess the truth that he is yours?
I do.
And may the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, seal this truth within you tonight. And may you be protected by the blood of his cross and protected under the mantle of Mary. May she seal these graces within you, that you always remain with Jesus and the truth that he speaks over you with his authority. May you know the freedom, the truth, and the light of his kingdom tonight. Amen.